B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Put it up.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Mark, Trey, Bob, Jamie, Sam Wilson, obviously with us today. What makes situations like this so crazy for me to compute is that people like Kobe Bryant, and I understand in just saying that, people like Kobe Bryant, that is very exclusive company, they can't be killed. They die, they grow old, they come back for alumni games, and they come back for different all-star games down the line. And you see them on the court side for years and years and years, and their legacy grows as they continue to mentor young basketball players. And you see them come back to their high school, like Lower Merion. And you see them in dedications where they name the court after them. And you see that where they revisit the court named after them for years and years. They can't be killed. They die. They grow old. But what makes this so unbelievably shocking is that he was killed in a helicopter crash. And it's something that takes you by surprise and throws you off. And you can't compute it. And then you factor in all the reports that were coming out. First off, it took forever for anyone other than, it seemed like forever, anyone other than TMZ coming out and saying, yes, in fact, Kobe Bryant was killed in a helicopter accident. And Woj was the next person to come out with it on ESPN. And that was the first ESPN acknowledged it. Meanwhile, other reports came out that all four of his girls were on the helicopter with him. And we didn't know who had died. There was only five people that passed. Now it turns out that there was nine people that passed. It's wild to get into it, but it really was something that took us a long, long time to really understand what actually happened. And then after the officials gave their press conference, there was no confirmation of anything. Meanwhile, courts around the NBA are giving wonderful tributes to Kobe Bryant. It was something that was surreal. When I got the text, and Jamie, I believe it was you that sent the text out to the show that said, are you guys seeing this? And it was the TMZ headline. And then everyone goes on Twitter. We all jumped on it. We're all looking through Twitter. We're all looking through different websites. TMZ, this story impacted so quickly, you couldn't even upload the page at times on TMZ. It would say having technical difficulties. I was trying to wrap my head around everything and trying to get the facts and trying to understand. I was at a family function at my brother's house, and there was probably 10 or 15 people in the room, a lot of them young kids, and I just read the headline and read the story out loud from TMZ, and no one could believe it. Everyone was saying, no, it can't be true, no way, because Kobe was just on the forefront of our minds 24 hours earlier. Yeah. 48 hours earlier, when you were reading his tweet congratulating LeBron James for passing him for third on the all-time scoring list. He was just, like, we talked about him on Friday on this show.
Yeah.
And someone like that can't go that quick, but it happened, and it happened in one of the most tragic ways possible, where he was on board this helicopter with his daughter. And what really keeps on rattling around again and again in my brain is when I was watching, you know, different shows, and you would see on the scroll at the bottom, Lakers legend Kobe Bryant dies at 41. And I thought, you don't see the number 41 after legend. You see that about someone who's in their 80s, in their 90s, whatever it might be, and he's 41 years old. And to go like that with your daughter is just nothing short of one of the saddest things we could ever talk about on this radio station. And it really was something that I still am having trouble really computing that actually happened.
Yeah, it's awful. And to be able to relate to it as we all can because of the local ties that he brought, you know, Lower Merion High School, us, you know, watching him as a high school kid, following what he did, going out to L.A., his father having played here with the Sixers in the 70s. You know, we can relate to Kobe on that level. Like, you know, we can't relate to him as a basketball player because none of us were ever anything like that. But then after he retires, we can relate to him as a father. We watched the pride that he had sitting with his girls and his daughter Gigi, who you know tragically perished with him. You know, he was going to a travel basketball game. You know, how can we can all relate to that? And you and Jamie will do that, you know, later in your years with your young girls. But I think that's where it hit me, was the relatability of him being a father after the career. You know, I saw Kobe play. I met Kobe. I have some inside stories with that. But the relatability, we can't relate to him as a basketball player. We can only admire. But we can relate to what he was in the last few years, and that was the father that he was.
It's amazing when you think about it. It really is. The fact that there are so many local ties there. I mean, obviously, he was born in this area. He moved to Italy when he was around 6 years old, came back when he was around 11, would come back for summers to play basketball, and then go back to Italy, and where his father was playing professional basketball, I think in three different cities over in Italy, four over in Europe, because I believe he also played in France. But he was a guy that went to Lower Merion. And I remember all the talk about him when he was going into the NBA and the draft, and the fact that he went 13th overall. It's like sort of the greatest of all time, and he's 13, you know, went at number 13. Trey, I don't know where you were yesterday when you learned of it, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Oh, yeah, it was just a shock. You know, I think the first thing I saw, like, was one of our listeners sent a tweet out about it, and I'm looking it up, and then I started looking it up and digging into it and looking at all the different media outlets, and then Jamie sent the group text to us, and then it's like, man, it was just so shocking to see what happened, you know, once the news started getting out there and all the different stories going out. And it was just shocking to hear someone, you know, a story that, you know, to see someone that you watched his career, and then you watching how he's living now and how he's pouring into his kids and trying to help his daughter through the game. And, you know, everybody sending up the tweets where he and his daughter sitting sideline and he's talking to, you know, pointing out the finer points of the game to her. And, you know, just everything that goes with his life. And it was just amazing. Just disturbing and shocking to see, you know, it end like that, you know. It made me think about, like, a lot of the times when I talk to people, I talk about, you know, time being one of your greatest assets, one of your most valuable assets. And when that time is up, it's over. And it was just so just like, wow, that, you know, it's over. You know, that's it. And it affected me. I took it hard yesterday just to see this. And you look at your kids and it's like, wow, man, you know. As a parent, it makes you want to do even more with your kids because you never know when that time is up.
It was funny. I was just telling Bob at the break right before we started the show. My daughter, who's 6 months old now, she had a little bit of a different schedule yesterday. Like I said, we were at a family thing. And last night, she's like a world champion sleeper, this girl. She's amazing, right? And last night, she just couldn't go to sleep. So we had to keep going up and, like, you know, giving her the pacifier or, you know, whatever. And I ended up staying up there with her just to try to rock her to sleep a little bit. And I was beyond grateful because everything you saw after everyone was giving their emotions and their sadness about Kobe, it was, hey, go hug your loved ones because you never know when it could be over. And I was grateful at that time to be able to get that little, I guess, bonus time with my daughter when she couldn't sleep last night. And it was definitely what you're saying, Trey. It was like, just appreciate the moment that you're in right now.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that came out. My friend Corey Simon, NBC Sports Philly, put out a tweet yesterday saying, I'm looking for words to anything that'd be comforting, something along those lines. And really, you just got to stop. Because there's no way to wrap your head around it. Mike Sielski from Inquirer.com will join us at 7 o'clock today. And he's got two young sons. It's not a matter of trying to make sense of it because there's nothing you can make sense of other than there are tragedies that happen in life where families are affected. A community is affected. And that's certainly what has happened here in Philadelphia. That has happened out in Los Angeles and an entire basketball community, an entire athletic world. It's happened. I mean, even Tiger Woods spoke about it yesterday during Torrey Pines. It's an absolutely incredible thing. And I have certainly said my things about Kobe Bryant over the years. And I really did not like him as a Laker. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was a Laker. And he was a local guy, but he always seemed like a guy that wasn't from the area. Now, Lower Merion will certainly disagree with that for all he's done for that school. And everyone gathered there yesterday to talk about this. And we're going to have Daryl Reynolds, a Villanova graduate, as well as a Lower Merion graduate. He also is an assistant coach of the basketball team now. And Daryl Reynolds is going to join us at about 8:30 today. And he'll give us kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what happened at Lower Merion yesterday. Beautiful tribute. So many people coming out and putting flowers down at the Kobe Bryant gymnasium. And just giving just wonderful, wonderful tributes to him yesterday. But you think about the everything that happened while he was playing against the Sixers in 2001. And I did not like him from really that point on. And we even booed him as a city the following year in the All-Star game, if you remember. And I don't know what's with these people. I remember when he said that while he was taking the MVP trophy in that All-Star game. But what really...
He knew it was coming.
Oh, God, yeah. I'll give him credit. He might not have played up the Philly card in his life, yeah. but he knew what was what.
He knew us.
And exactly. And the interesting thing was, I think for a lot of people, they felt exactly as I felt as a fan. But when things really changed, it was when he addressed the Eagles before the Super Bowl. It was like, oh, that's right. He is an Eagles fan. He is like us. And that was, and somebody tweeted me the same thing on yesterday. And I was like, that's kind of when it changed for me as well. It was like, you know what, Kobe, you're all right. In all honesty. And then the other thing that really helped it along, and I thought Vince Carter was just magnificent, magnificent yesterday. And he, of all the people that spoke, he was my favorite. Because when he addressed the media after the Hawks had one of the best tributes to Kobe Bryant during the game itself, whether it was the 8-second backcourt violation or it was a 24-second shot clock violation or Trae Young wearing his number and then also hitting beyond a half-court shot and then putting his hands up in the air and saying, thank you, Kobe.
Do you see what else Trae Young did? His stat line?
Oh, yeah.
Not only did he wear number 8, he had 24 shots, shot 81% from the free throw line. Like what?
Yeah.
That's wild.
I didn't see that part with 81% for the free throw, but I saw like his numbers combined with Devin Booker's numbers.
Yeah, somebody just tweeted us that. I have it right here. Trae Young and Devin Booker combined for 81 points, each took 24 shots, made 24 combined shots, and grabbed 8 total rebounds.
That's weird.
It's certainly a wild thing when you think about all the things that just kind of made sense yesterday. And there was one point, I guess it was because it really started to kind of sink in, and it was actually this morning before I came in here. I was watching a little of Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter. And when Trae Young put up the half-court shot, he said, you know, sometimes you wonder what makes it all work. And they're, you know, I'm not saying that there's something out there pulling strings, but sometimes, yeah, it just makes too much sense when it shouldn't. And I'm talking about the tributes and things that happened yesterday, really that were a beautiful tip of the cap to one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen. And I will say this, of all the guys that I have watched from start to finish of a career, Kobe Bryant's probably the best. I know he's the best competitor. And now I go back to Jordan. That was my greatest of all time.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember 80s Jordan. 80s Jordan was a guy that lost a lot. 80s Jordan didn't make it to the NBA Finals. Kobe, I watched through his entire career and was able to appreciate from start to finish of his career. And of all the athletes I've watched, he's probably the greatest. When you talk about 5 championships, you talk about an MVP award. You think about it. The year, I believe it was the year he scored 81 points. He averaged 35 points per game that year and wasn't even the MVP of the league. That was one of Steve Nash's back-to-back years.
Yeah.
It's a wild thing to wrap your head around. But you think about all the people that really had these outpourings of love. And I just got to go back to it one more time. Vince Carter was the one that I really was impressed by, amazed by, because he talked about a transition. Now, picture this. Vince Carter, you watch the entire career of Kobe Bryant. You compete against him for your entire career in the NBA. And you see a guy who is as fierce a competitor as they come. And that was a repeating theme yesterday. Well, it wasn't just about a family man. It was also about the basketball player and the competitor that he was. Competitor was the common word. And Vince Carter talked about this transition that he watched from a guy that would just cut your heart out on the court to a guy that wanted to sit next to his daughter and just teach the game of basketball. And he went from being that Mamba mentality to a guy that just wanted to coach his daughter. And he said, seeing that on the sidelines was so interesting to watch a guy go from that kind of fierceness to this loving father. And when he boiled it down, he went from that fierce basketball player that wanted to be the greatest to the guy that just wanted to be the greatest dad. And that's something that I think will resonate more with me than anything. And it's wild to think about. If he was a middle-of-the-range basketball player that we just kind of knew, respected, whatever it might have been, you feel for the family man above anything else.
Yeah. I think that's where it's most relatable. I mean, you know, like I said, we can't relate to being a superstar athlete. You know, Trey can, but the normal people can't. You know, we can't relate to that at all. But, man, you can watch him sitting on a sideline with a 13-year-old daughter and trying to teach her the ways of life and the ways of basketball. And not just that, her absorbing it and her having, you know, her hugging him on the side like, you know, Dad, I'm taking this all in. Like, that's the specialness that we can all relate to later in Kobe's life. And it's funny, Mark, you talk about the hate that you had for Kobe as a player. And it's, look, that's Philadelphia. And did he expect it? Damn straight he did. And he probably loved it. And, you know, the great thing about Philadelphia is we want those guys that we hate so much. You know, the famous line, oh, I hate him, but I'd love him on this team. That's what Kobe Bryant was. And when he came here for his final game in 2015 and the press conference beforehand, and we're sitting there and the names that he brings up, Scotty Rego, Alan Lumpkin, these are guys behind the scene guys for the Sixers that he brings up in his press conference. And, you know, that meant the world to him from when he was a 17-year-old kid because these guys were with the team back then. And so he just had it. He remembered everything. He knew how to treat everything. And he made everyone feel special that knew him a little bit.
It's wild. I've never had a show like this where we've reached out to so many people. I reached out to two different teammates of Kobe Bryant's at Lower Merion. Neither could come on the air.
Yeah.
Physically come on the air.
Yeah.
Like they weren't able to do that. Bob, I know you reached out to a number of people. They weren't ready to go on the air.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's doing it today, but our friend Mark Jackson, who usually joins us every Thursday, is going to join us today to talk about this. And if you saw Mark yesterday, he was in tears. Where he found out about this was while he was coaching, I believe, his son's AAU team. Kobe is en route to go help his daughter's team and tragically dies. Mark was coaching his son's team and found out about this. Mm. He actually answered his phone at one point, I think it was halftime, and the person on the other end, his friend, said, hey, look, how you doing? And he goes, I'm good. I'm just coaching my son's team. And he goes, look, you shouldn't be answering your phone. Don't answer your phone. Turn it off. And then sure enough, someone at the scorer's table blurted it out, and that's how he found out about it. Mm. He's talked about yesterday on NBC Sports Philly about how he was 14 or 15 years old and Kobe Bryant had just got back from Italy. He's about 11 or 12 years old, and he's competing against him while they're working out at Temple. And afterwards, Kobe was icing his knees as a 12-year-old kid. And he's like, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm going to have a long career. At 12! Yeah. I mean, if that's not the competitor's edge, if that's not a Mamba mentality at the age of 11 or 12, I don't know what is. Mark will join us at about 9:10 today. We have D Lineham at 9, I believe, Bob, is joining us at 9.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be a long day of remembering Kobe Bryant and how you remember him as a competitor, really. How you remember him as a guy that came into Philadelphia and took a championship in 2001. And I'll say that, you know, I had moments before as a fan here, 2008, when the Apex happened, you won a championship with the Phillies, and then obviously the Super Bowl years later. But that 2001 was, Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue was the greatest moment of my Philadelphia sports life up until I actually got to experience a championship. I mean, really. I mean, even 93 was such a devastating ending to it. But watching Iverson step over Tyronn Lue, and then the next four games, the Lakers win. Obviously, what, three of which here in Philadelphia, and they run off with the championship. Robert Horry hitting some big shots in that series. Shaq averaging over 32 points in that series. Kobe averaged around 26 points per game. He played 46 minutes per game. Like, that's what he averaged in that final series. That's insane.
Yeah.
And then watching Kobe come in, I remember there was no greater party that happened in my life than going to different houses to watch every game, like my buddies' houses. There was a party every single night, and it was all to root against Shaq and Kobe. But damn it, I respect him.
I said to Bob in the 5 o'clock hour, whenever you found out your team was going against Kobe, you were like, oh, we're going to need something extra special. And I think that's the greatest thing you can say about an athlete you're facing is you're going to need something special.
I never,
to beat that guy.
Yeah, I never felt such a buzz in the arena ever as when Kobe came to town the first time when I was covering the Sixers, and just like, whoa, this is different. LeBron James rivals it when he comes into town also. But it was a little, I said to Dan, it was a little more hyped up with Kobe, I think, because of the hometown factor, because, you know, there was just a little extra buzz. And, man, he absorbed it. He cherished it. And that competitive side came out because of it.
The Kobe Bryant, we ask like guys like Ben Simmons. We ask all types of guys, every athlete that comes in here. We want you to be a killer. We want you to do whatever it takes to win. And Kobe was the perfect example of that. That's how he played every single night. I heard go figure. Bob Costas has a lot of requests, so unfortunately couldn't come on with us. But I heard him talk about it yesterday. I think it was on CNN. I saw one of the clips on Twitter going around. Think about this. In 2015, 2014 is when he had the ACL tear or the ruptured Achilles. He was already a five-time NBA champion, already a league MVP, 12-time defensive player of the year, two-time gold medalist.
And he walked himself off the bench with a torn Achilles, shot two free throws, made them both, and then walked himself to the locker room.
And then rehabbed.
Yeah.
And he came back.
Yeah.
You've done enough.
He was not normal.
No, he was not a human. And that's why, again, Trey, I try to wrap my head around it. Guys like this can't be killed.
Mm-hmm.
They can only grow old and die. As a human should. And to see it happen this tragically and this quickly and all of a sudden, again, right after he was on on our minds because of what happened with the Sixers and Lakers game the other night, and 24 hours beforehand, it has his last two tweets were one of congratulating LeBron James, and the other was retweeting a video of Allen Iverson talking about how he helped pave the way for athletes to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Those were his last two interactions on Twitter.
Wow. It's just amazing. And, you know, he just shows you what you can be when you have the mindset, when you have that type of mindset. And that's one of the things that I think each parent tries to put into their kids when it comes to, you know, anything that they do or what they want to achieve in their life. Is like, look, you know, you have to have that determination, that type of mindset, that type of grind, that type of work ethic if you want to be something special in this world. And that's just in anything that you do. And it's just, you know, just, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's really hard to deal with. And, you know, and just even we're watching all of it. At one point, I had to just turn off the TV because I'm like, look, I can't keep looking at these stories just because it was just so heavy.
Yeah, it was sad to watch everything. But again, of all the things that really just, again, keep rattling around in my brain or just seeing that the Lakers legend dies at 41.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. And then I don't understand why this happens. I guess because they have to be thorough and they're the officials, so they can't just come out and say it. But when the official press conference took place, they didn't name anybody.
No.
They said they had the manifest, no survivors, but yet they couldn't confirm the deaths that happened.
Yeah.
And by the way, let me say this also. Heart goes out to everyone on that helicopter.
The other guy was a former Mets scout and Orange County College mm-hmm. baseball coach.
Yeah, legendary.
Won
baseball
four
coach.
Championships. Yeah.
Yeah.
700.
Really
wins.
Sad.
Yeah.
And I saw the LA County Sheriff slam TMZ for getting the news out there before they even had a chance to contact the family.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, man, that's unbelievably rough and wrong for the Bryants to find out that way.
I think it really is. And I remember when everything was going on with Roy Halladay before news really broke that he had passed away, we were all looking at footage of the wreckage. And I remember it was said, you don't get a prize for first. Like, this has to be confirmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
This has to be something that is obviously authorities confirm what happened. And I believe in the press conference they did. And they had a body to identify. I don't know what exactly happened, but you know that when the helicopter did crash in Calabasas, that there were flames. It was difficult to identify bodies. So I know that's why they're taking their time, but it's just an odd thing that all these reports come out, confirm it. The NBA celebrates the man's life after it happens. It's a tragic, tragic thing. So obviously we'll be talking about this, all morning. We'll try to get a little bit into, the Sixers win over the weekend, because it does go hand in hand with what happened yesterday, considering of all the places for Kobe Bryant to have his focus on, his last evening on the planet was Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Because he was watching LeBron James pass him for third all-time on the scoring list. It is really, really wild, the things in play here. We'll get into it all throughout the show. We got Hodge. We got B-Hawk. We'll talk to you guys. We got open lines after that. Once again, Mike Sielski, who wrote a phenomenal piece on Inquirer.com about this whole thing with Kobe Bryant, is just wonderful. He'll join us at 7 o'clock, 8:30, from Lower Merion. And also, from Villanova, national champion Darryl Reynolds will join us, coming up at 8:30. 9 o'clock, D. Lynam will join us. And then at 9:10, we'll be joined by Mark Jackson. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 6:21.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One of the tributes also that I think really summed up how a lot of people felt yesterday was Greg Popovich. And I give him credit for this. For a guy that is known to be, well, humorous, but it also crass with the media. Yesterday, I thought he summed up exactly how we all felt. Because if you were flipping around a little bit yesterday, you were watching the Pro Bowl. I don't think many of you were, but if you were flipping around, you saw some of the Pro. And it was just...
I watched absolutely 0 seconds of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, me too.
I watched maybe 8 seconds where, like I said, I was at my brother's, and the news broke, and they were looking for one of the stations to be carrying more information on Kobe. And we came up on the Pro Bowl as he was like flipping around real quick. And it was like, why are they... Like, I know they're not going to cancel the Pro Bowl, although they should anyway, regardless of what happened yesterday. But I'm watching it, and I'm going, why are they playing? And then I thought to myself, wait, there's NBA games today. Why are they going to play the NBA game? Cancel the games. Like, that was my gut reaction, right? And then everyone came out with these wonderful tributes, and I thought Greg Popovich kind of summed it up nicely after the Spurs game yesterday.
Good game, tough loss, who cares? Most importantly... appreciate you all letting the locker room be tonight. Everybody's pretty emotional about the tragedy with Kobe, and all of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him as a player so attractive to everybody, that focus. That competitiveness, that will to win. And even more importantly than that, we all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons.
It was, I thought it summed it up perfectly. Not only the tribute after that, but just the first sentence, who cares?
Yeah.
Tough loss, good game, who cares?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I was wondering if the NBA would cancel games. I think there was an afternoon game that it might have been a little tough for. But then I was telling Jamie earlier, I was switching around all the channels and on, and some prominent NBA person, I don't remember who it was, said, cancel today's games? No way. Kobe would kill somebody if they tried to cancel an NBA game because of him. And it like, you know, we hear that all the time. Like, you know, players go through tragedy. Oh, my dad would have wanted me to play, so that's why I'm here, all that. But I don't think that ever rung truer than it did yesterday when I heard that. That's right. Kobe would want everybody playing yesterday and playing their best and playing, you know, for their team and for their city and for the fans of the NBA.
Absolutely. I think I think... As, and it also to allow players to share their emotion and to to share the world. Like, look, this is what we're dealing with. Anybody that's played this game within over the past couple of years, you had to deal with Kobe. And I think that, you know, as a competitor and someone that's looking up to someone that you've played against, you know, that had to be emotional. And I think being able to get out there on the court and show and be able to go out there and perform kind of maybe helped some of these guys with dealing with what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, so I know it was tough for some of these guys to go out there and do it. But, you know, I think that also, too, there was it probably helped some of these guys with their grief and just the emotion of it all happening.
Yeah. Ben Simmons, of course, took to Twitter as most of the NBA did yesterday. And Ben Simmons tweeted this: "The world lost a legend today. Kobe Bryant was someone who I looked up to, a fierce competitor." Again, there's that competitor buzzword you're going to be seeing a lot and hearing a lot today. "A champion, an icon, his dominance and relentlessness and his relentless spirit translated both on and off the court. Your fans across the world loved you with such passion, and you never let them down." He also talked about losing both him and his daughter in the tragic accident. He sent out three different tweets, Ben Simmons did yesterday, regarding this. And it really did encapsulate everything that I think everyone was saying yesterday.
Joel Embiid's really hit me because, you know, he's talking about that's basically in 2010 is the first time he saw the NBA, and watching Kobe on that stage, he said, was a pivoting point in his life because he realized that's what he wanted to be. And to think that, you know, like, it's an NBA, it's a basketball game. To think that it's affecting people around the globe like that in different ways, it's powerful stuff. I mean, really, to think about a kid in Cameroon turning on the TV for the first time and seeing that, and now we have the center of our franchise here because of that. It's wild. It's touching, the impact he had on the world.
Absolutely. We're going to get some reactions from our callers today. Let's get our friend Hodge up here. What's up, Hodge?
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Listen, I got a story about Kobe that you're talking about. He was like, I think he was 12 or 13, and I lived in that Bala Cynwyd area down there. You have a radio station over there, I think, that little park down the road on Belmont. Are you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I played tennis there, basketball. And so I'm playing there one summer. And, you know, guys are running. And this 12-year-old kid, I think he was 12 at the time. I'm trying to do the math because I remember when he went in the NBA later. He's trying to get in the game. And one of these big alpha guys wouldn't let him in. He said, "Kid, go home." And Kobe's sitting there, not pissed, just waiting. And I came back about an hour later after playing some tennis, and I see him out there. He's just controlling the game. He's like 12 or 13 playing against guys that are, you know, I was like about 7 years older, 8 years older than the guy, and other guys are 15 years older than him. And the kid was just dominating. I mean, at 12 or 13, that's amazing. Now, I didn't know who he was at the time. I just heard later Kobe's, Joe Bryant's son plays over there, or played over there.
Right.
And then when he was 18, I'm thinking, man, I'm getting my master's degree, and this kid's going in the NBA. It was 5 years later. Like, damn, that's amazing. I knew Kobe when he was 12 years old.
Wow. That is, yeah.
I think I was trying to comfort the kid when he was saying they wouldn't let me play. And I'm thinking, I didn't say anything to the kid because I looked at him and I'm thinking, you get in there, dude.
Mm-hmm. No, that's insane, man. No, that kind of legend, Hodge, and thanks for the call. That's like, so many people have stories like that. I heard 1,000 of them like that yesterday because of the local ties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird. I think what really helped people come to grips with Kobe and get over 2001 was the fact that he was rooting right along with us for the Eagles. And somebody came at me yesterday on Twitter like, "Oh, it's not about the Eagles." Do you know how many people, like, talked about how much they loved Kobe after they found out he addressed the team and did many interviews about it? And then also his wife put out the video of him reacting to the Eagles Super Bowl victory. Yeah. Like you talk about sports uniting us, it's fandom that also unites us. Because we have nothing in common with Kobe Bryant, the basketball player. But Kobe Bryant, the Eagles fan, he was all of us in that exact moment.
Yeah, and that was awesome to see that video, you know, just his reaction, holding one of his daughters, you know, and just the excitement that he had. And I was like, wow, look at how giddy Kobe is right there. And that actually brought a smile, because I'm like, wow, you know, look at the energy that he had and the joy that he had watching this team bring home a Super Bowl. And, you know, you could see right then and there that he was one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. Zach Berman put out a snippet from his book yesterday, Underdogs, and it's all about the Eagles Super Bowl year. And he talked about how when Kobe came to talk to the team before the 2017 Super Bowl, you saw 53 grown men, professional athletes themselves, the highest of their own professions, fawning over Kobe Bryant, like, in shock and awe, like, oh my God, it's Kobe. To have that kind of impact where you have an NFL football team, like, fawning over you, I think really puts into perspective how great he was.
He put on the number 8 Kobe's, or the number 8 Eagles jersey, midnight green. I was like, I love you, Kobe. I forget everything I ever said. My apologies.
Yeah, I remember one time my wife and I got floor seats to a game to go watch the Sixers and the Lakers play. And for whatever reason, I don't know why the tickets, the seats were right there at the end of the Lakers bench. And so my wife and I are sitting there, and like Kobe walked by and he like, excuse me. And he sat right down next to my wife, and I'm like, wow, babe, we're sitting next to Kobe. I'm like, I don't know how we got seats. That's on the Lakers bench, but here we are. You know, and it's just like it brought back that memory, you know, and all of this is happening. It's just like, wow, you started thinking back to all of this. And you know what? When we were getting ready to watch the Sixers, get ready for the Sixers game, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I want to send this tweet out, and I'm so glad I didn't. Because I'm like, man, you know what? I wanted Ben to shut LeBron down. I'm like, man, you shut LeBron down. Make Kobe have to go somewhere else to go see him break the record.
Right.
And I'm so glad I didn't see it. It was just so fitting that it happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, wow, this is just absolutely crazy. And it's so crazy how things happen and the timing of it all. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
No, it's a lot of things are weird about yesterday, man. And sad, obviously, and strange. B-Hawk, what's on your mind today, my friend?
Yo, cuz, I called last night. I was, you know what I mean? We all was in bad shape. I got on with Rob. But you know what I mean? This morning, you know, what better way to wake up this morning watching Toronto with the worst defense ever get dropped 81 points on by Kobe, just watching all his highlights, hearing those numbers that you guys just read was chilling and just, you know what I mean, brought another tear to my eye. But just seeing, you know what I mean, the Mamba mentality, like even applying it, cheesy it may sound, or like his mentality, much as we hate to go against him, but through life, man, to get up or whatever, like I got up, get ready to do my little exercise grind. And you know how you just lay there in bed, like, I don't want to get up. Someone was just like, yo, bro, get up, man. Because that picture Kravis Scott posted, him in a cast with pajamas on and the other hand shooting free throws. Man, we ain't never going to forget that, man. You know what I mean? The jersey's going to be up. You know, you ain't going to never see them in many Lakers jerseys in Philly. I'm trying to get mine on deck as soon as I go on break. You know what I mean? For this man. And just, you know, for gym curriculum today, I don't know what I had planned, but we definitely playing some ball today.
Oh, yeah,
and
man.
We're going to definitely represent for Kobe and shout out to everyone, family. I'm, man, proud to be a Philadelphia fan, be a part of y'all network. Love all over the place. And I'm apologizing Saturday to the morning run with the fellas. I'm going to shoot 50 fadeaways. All Mamba mentality all day. Later.
Appreciate it, B-Hawk. Appreciate you joining us, man.
I mean, just think about that. People that shoot a contested jump shot, you know, whether it's in the trash can, in a pickup game with their friends, people yell, Kobe!
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty wild.
He'll go down as one of the most emulated basketball players, not only of our era, but of, you know, ever.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, I'll let you know a personal story. I got to meet Kobe Bryant last March, a little less than a year ago. And it was something I jumped at the opportunity to be able to talk to the man, and he was doing something great. He came back to Philadelphia to give back at this particular instance when I met him. I'll tell you that story coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic is brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. So last March, I got a call to go out and cover Kobe Bryant coming back to Philadelphia. He was going to Andrew Hamilton School in West Philadelphia. And he was promoting, I believe, a book at the time. And the appearance was him promoting the book, I believe, and it was also addressing the student body. So they had all the kids in an auditorium, and Kobe came out, and they intro'd him, and one of his former teammates intro'd him, and he spoke to the kids for 20-30 minutes, it seemed like, and did a little Q&A with someone up there on stage. And one of the things that I took away from the conversation, because anytime someone is going to go and talk to kids, you're thinking, all right, what's the message going to be? Because I've seen disasters. I've seen guys like, you know, you get older, you get the drinks, you get the girls, and it's like, not wrong message, wrong audience. And he went out there and talked to the kids about something extremely vulnerable, fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the idea of embracing fear and having it challenge you to be the best version of yourself. And I'm looking at these middle school kids, and like, look, he could have read a newspaper, he could have read a dictionary up there on stage, and the kids would have been captivated, right? But they were hanging on every single word, and he's trying to influence these young minds about anytime you're faced with a fear or a fear of failure, attack it. And you'll find out what you're really made of. Like, who doesn't want to know what they're made of? And if you go out there and you embrace that challenge, you'll become great. Because some people will face that fear and they'll say, nope, I'm good, and they'll run away from it. But those that attack it become great. And I thought that is the perfect thing to tell these kids. And then afterwards, when we got a little media session with him and I got to meet him, first off, he shook every media member's hand and was very gracious, nice to meet you and all that, and as you would expect. And he was just, he couldn't have been better. And I remember one thing he said was he met Nick Foles. He was away on vacation, I think he said. And Nick Foles came up to him and said, do we have the audio of this? Okay. Here's a little story of them bumping into each other, Nick Foles and Kobe Bryant.
I am sad to see Nick Foles. I just saw him 2 weeks ago out by me in Newport Beach. We got a chance to talk a little bit and thanked him for everything that he did. He came up to me. It's funny. He goes, hey, Kobe, it's good to see you. I'm Nick Foles. I'm like, Foles, I know who you are.
And then, you know, because a lot of people were out there for more of the news story, what he was promoting, I was, of course, asking him about sports. And I asked him about, you know, Ben Simmons, because he had recently come out and talked about Ben expanding his game. And he said, yeah, we're not talking about raining threes here for Ben Simmons. We're talking about just developing a simple jump shot. He goes, that's all he needs to really go to that next level. Yeah. And I'm like, if Kobe Bryant's saying it, then by all, but come on.
Yeah, that mental edge you talk about, and Trey, you hit on it earlier, was, I think, what separated Kobe from so many others, is he was always challenging himself mentally. And, like, little things. Like, the first time I met him, Doug Collins introduced me to him. We were in the hallways long before a game. And Doug introduced me. He said, you know, it's Bob Cooney from the Daily News. He covers the team now. He took over for Phil Jasner. And right away, Kobe looked at me. He goes, oh, man, you got big shoes to fill. Like, and it surprised me that, not that he knew Phil, because Phil, Hall of Famer, all that, but you know, here we are 2 hours before the game, one of the most competitive people in the world. You expect to shake hand, you know, whatever, walk off. But that was like the mental edge that he had. He didn't let anything go by, you know, knew something about everything. And to your story, Mark, about shaking hands with the media, I remember one time we went down to shoot around. The Lakers were here. I don't even remember what year it was. Lakers had a shoot around. Kobe got on the bus after the shoot around, and I think it was D. Lineham and I, maybe somebody else. We're standing there, and the Lakers PR guy's like, what's the matter? We're like, well, we were looking for Kobe, you know? And he's like, I already got on the bus. Well, Kobe got wind of it. The guy didn't ask him. Kobe got wind of it that we were standing there, comes running off the bus with his slides on. It's like, guys, I'm so sorry. Wasn't even thinking, what's up? What do you got? And stood there with us for a good 15 minutes. We're like, go ahead, you're going to miss the bus. He goes, that's all right. I'll stay for however long you need me. So he was like that type of a guy where he just understood every little aspect of everything. And I think that was the mental challenge that he challenged himself with.
It really is incredible when somebody is that self-aware.
Yeah, and an unbelievable trait that he had.
On that note, I had reached out. We mentioned that we reached out a couple of people from Lower Merion, and a lot of people were just too broken up to come on and speak to us about Kobe. One of the people that I reached out to yesterday was Evan Monsky. We know him in the business as Evster. And he was, I believe, the point guard at Lower Merion when Kobe was playing. And Evster did a piece on Kobe coming back to Philly. And the running gag in the piece was that, you know, Kobe was a guy that always appreciated his point guard. And he's like, oh, have you ever had a point guard better than me, basically, is what Evster was saying. So, sure enough, after the game, he asked Kobe Bryant in the press conference, you know, well, you know, who really made your career at Lower Merion? And like that, Kobe was just like, oh, that'd be Evan Mosky, man. He'd be the guy that really made my career, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he did a one-on-one with the guy.
Yeah.
Because he was his high school teammate.
Ev had a tweet that I felt yesterday. He put out, you know, number 33 to my friend, to my buddy. I'll always remember you. You made me feel like the special one. You know, I lost contact with you over the last 20 years. But every time I would see you, you would dap me up. And talk with me, and you were great to my family, and you made me feel like the special one. And I was like, damn.
For a guy that spent a lot of time being criticized here locally for not being Philly enough, and I referenced this on Friday. John Street wrote a letter to him after he got booed at the All-Star game here in Philadelphia about how you're one of Philadelphia's favorite sons. And I remember a lot of the response was, he's not from Philly, he's from Lower Merion, and all that other stuff. It's like, the guy played in the leagues here in Philadelphia. He came back in the summers to play here in Philadelphia. Like, he was born here in this area. Like, it's something that I don't think really resonated with me until, and I hate to do it, but it really until I saw him in that Eagles jersey.
Yeah.
Until I saw him living and dying with that Eagles Super Bowl, I was like, all right, I'll accept. I even said it on Friday. He was more Italian than he was Philadelphian.
it's so silly because, I mean, the courts that he would grow up playing in Ardmore, you know, I know very well. It's, what, like 0.2 miles from West Philadelphia?
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous thing to say.
The first time I ever heard Kobe's name, it was probably, I was working at the paper, it was probably 94, 95, something like that, and there was rumors saying that Joe Bryant might go to LaSalle and be one of Speedy Morris's assistant. I'm like, what? You know, Joe Bryant, is he even in coaching? And then it came about that, oh, well, he has a son that's pretty good. And maybe, you know, if Joe gets there, maybe there's some, you know. And it was just a rumor or whatever. So that's the first time I heard about Kobe. Then a couple of year or two later, Dick Girardi came to me. We're in the office, and he was heading out. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go watch this Kobe kid play because the rumors are really starting up that he might go to the NBA. I want to see if he's ready. So we were anxious for Girardi to come back. He comes back, and I said, what do you think? Is he ready? He goes, oh, not yet, but my God, he's going to be one of the greatest ever.
Wow.
And I'll never, ever forget that day. I swear to God, Sunday afternoon, I can still see Girardi walking in and saying those words. Not yet. And for some, you always have some people that'll go one side or the other. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to be great. Nah, he's not. But Girardi's
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.